If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We're going to talk about some of the Islamic rules or laws about purity according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker, as always, providing us with his insight and knowledge about the religious and jurisprudential laws. Especially, it's a couple of episodes that we are trying to focus on the rules of purification. Sheikh Javed, you know, after urination, how many times should the urinary outlet or tract be washed to become pure, that we call it pure?
Pure, yes. According to obligatory precaution or ihtiyati wajib, the urinary outlet will become pure by washing it twice with little water.
Mm-hmm. Twice.
Twice. When using little water, which we call qalil water, and it's not cool water, of course, so we have to use, we have to wash the organ, the private organ, the genital area, twice in order to make sure that it is pure. And washing twice is sufficient. It's not necessary to be over obsessive. You know, obsession is a big problem for many people. We shouldn't be obsessive. So it's makruh to stay in the bathroom for a long time washing the private area. And there are unfortunately many people who stay for half an hour in the bathroom washing themselves. It's not good. It's not acceptable.
Yeah, the very bad scenarios talked about these individuals, unfortunately, psychologically obsessed with something. And it could be with anything. But here, in this regard, some people are too much, they make a fuss about, like, purification, especially when it comes to water and the impurity and purity, some of these laws.
There is OCD, which is called obsessive compulsive
disorder, yeah,
is a disease which must be treated, and the best way to treat it is to ignore one's doubt and to act like ordinary people.
And interestingly, they can also consult with psychotherapists and psychiatrists. And usually they are treated with pills. And lots of people don't know that there are pills available to cure, to treat obsession, by the way.
I didn't know either.
Yeah. So what about, you said the qalil water twice to make the urinary outlet to call it pure, you know. Well, what about the running water? We have the running water, so you can't count, basically, the amounts of water to be, used actually as washing your, for example, urinary outlet.
Well, the water, let's say, because people living in the cities, they use the water which comes from the mains or from the pipe.
Yes.
And that water is not qalil water, it's called cool water. And cool water is not made impure by coming into contact with the impurity, unless the color, the taste, and the smell change, okay?
Yeah. So if you wash it, for example, just with that small amount, that suffices it?
Not small amount. What? Because
like we can't count. Like,
yeah, you cannot count it. You know,
it's just the moment it touches.
It just come. Yeah. Provided there's one condition, the essential impurity or najasa itself is removed beforehand. Okay.
Right.
As long as the najasa is there, you cannot consider yourself as pure. The essential impurity has to be removed, and then if you wash yourself once, it is sufficient.
Mm-hmm, I see. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back with more questions. Just stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including practical laws of Islam, frequently asked questions, comparative fatwa, and newly asked questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, Ashraf Chowdhury. There's still our guest speaker trying to help us and contribute to this program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, with the questions that I ask. He helps me with it and really appreciate it. Sheikh Javid, before the break, I asked you the question of how to, you know, make the urinary outlet pure by washing either with running water or qalil water, as you said. How about the anus, like the excretory outlet? How can it be made pure?
Well, the rectum or the excretory outlet could be made pure through two methods. There are two methods. For example, either you wash the rectum, or you use something. For example, in the event that there is no water and you are going to use some hard objects to remove the essential impurity. So these two methods are there. Washing it with water until the impurity is removed, after which there would be no need for further, you know, washing. So this is one. This is one way.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, nothing replaces at all. Nothing replaces water. And water is the most purifying and the best purifying object with which one can purify himself or remove impurity. Now, the second method is the removing of the impure material with three pure pieces of stone,
mm-hmm,
or pieces of clothes like tissue or anything which removes, okay? Like if a piece of wood is there and it definitely and surely removes the impure object, then that's enough. There should be three pieces of
objects,
yes, hard objects. Like it shouldn't be wet in the first place. And then if the najis material is removed with these three pieces, more pieces could be, more pieces are not needed. But if one in doubts whether the substances have been removed or not, then he can use more pieces, mm-hmm, until he is confident that there's no more impure substance or ingredient is left around the rectum. And these are the two methods. So when it comes to the rectum, of course, or to the excretory outlet, we can use pieces of stones to purify ourselves.
Right.
But when it comes to the urinary outlet, of course, there's no way to purify it with stones or with things, with objects, and it should be washed. There's no way it can be made pure without water.
Uh-huh, I see. So the best purifier is
water.
Basically water, right.
Yes.
Okay. Well, and the next question I have is about the excretory outlet again. If it comes in contact with blood or any impure things or objects, are using three pieces of those objects sufficient for purification?
Well, there are some cases in which, of course, the rectum cannot be made pure with water, without water, of course,
mm-hmm,
and water must be used. Now, we believe, and the religious authorities have said, based on what the religious authorities, including His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, have said, that the excretory outlet is purified using three pieces of stone or more pieces of stone or hard objects, provided that they are not wet.
Mm-hmm.
But in three cases, those three pieces of stones cannot purify. Now, the one example. If, for example, another najasa or impurity like blood appears along with the feces, okay? Blood, mm-hmm, is mixed with the feces coming out So in that case, you cannot purify the outlet with three pieces of stone. You must use water. That's one. And number two, if an external najasa or impurity reaches the rectum or the excretory outlet, so that external najasa will make it pure, and it will not be made pure without water. This is number two. And number three, if more than usual najasa spreads around the excretory outlet, you know, it spreads out, it is excessive, the amount is excessive. In that case also, one has to use water in order to purify himself. So these are the three areas or three scenarios in which water must be used, and that three pieces of stones are not sufficient.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, and thank you, my dear audience, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم مجا لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي المميت الظاهر والباطن.